Published reports today say Apple is about to do something it's never done before, buy something really expensive.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Apple has traditionally grown through in-house innovation. It's Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway company that grows by buying others. But Apple today seems to be taking a page from the Buffett playbook, with the Financial Times and other papers reporting it will buy Beats of headphones fame for $3.2 billion. Beats was founded by record producer Jimmy Iovine and rapper Dr. Dre. Marketplace's David Weinberg is following this. David, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
So first off, what makes this company worth $3.2 billion in the eyes of Apple?
Well, if you look at the two products Beats has to offer, it's one that stands out as potentially most valuable to Apple. That's its subscription-based music streaming service. This is an industry that's seen a lot of growth, whereas digital downloads, this is what iTunes dominates, it's declining.
It's so interesting, though. I mean, Apple does have iTunes Radio. It's advertising supported, not a subscription service, but it's similar to what Beats has. Why not develop it in-house? I mean, it seems to be a sign Apple needs to turn outward for new ideas.
Well, first of all, I have to say this deal is not set in stone, but it's a clear departure from how the company has done business in the past. If this deal does go through, it would be Apple's largest acquisition to date. The second biggest was in 1997, the purchase of Next Software for $400 million, which was also the deal that brought Steve Jobs back to Apple. And speaking of Jobs, Jimmy Iovine, one of the founders of Beats, was quoted in the Wall Street Journal saying he got the idea for Beats from Apple.
Hmm. Marketplace with David Weinberg, thank you.
Thank you.
There are tensions flaring in the South China Sea. Ownership of territory near the Paracel Islands is in dispute after China moved an oil drilling rig into the area and Vietnam sent ships to investigate. Chinese vessels rammed the Vietnamese crafts and used high-pressure streams of water in a provocative or defensive maneuver, depending on the perspective. Sally Herships has more on this issue of oil and territory.
This fight is a lot bigger than the one oil rig China moved into disputed ocean territory.
Right. It involves not just China and Vietnam, but also Taiwan, the Philippines, Brunei, and Malaysia.
Taylor Fravel teaches political science at MIT. He says border disputes in the area have been going on for decades, and this is China's way of trying to demonstrate its claim to the territory.
China is desperate for domestic sources of energy.
Ernie Bauer is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says there's potentially more gas under these waters than in the Gulf of Mexico and more oil than in Alaska. The U.S. Geological Survey says it's likely there are 2.5 billion barrels of oil there yet to be tapped. But this fight is also about fish and...
And the Vietnamese are rightly concerned about their sovereignty.
Bauer says the location where the Chinese attacked the Vietnamese ships is just 120 miles offshore from Vietnam. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The FT 100 in London is down 0.3% right now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains can move a ton of freight nearly 450 miles on 1 gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Iowa, offering a business climate complete with educated workers committed to innovation and professionals in advanced manufacturing, biosciences, and financial services. IowaEconomicDevelopment.com. And by Constant Contact, whose toolkit provides online marketing resources along with the support staff of live coaches. More at ConstantContact.com.
The federal health law has brought some 5 million Americans into the health care program for low-income people. Only about half of states have chosen to expand Medicaid. If every state did, researchers calculate another 5 million would join the ranks. Cost is one of the top reasons politicians cite when explaining why they oppose Medicaid expansion. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein asks whether a more affordable price tag might change minds.
Medicaid supporters are shouting from the rooftops in Cleveland.
We improved care, we improved outcomes, and we reduced costs.
Dr. Randy Siebel runs the Center for Healthcare Research and Policy. He's also the data dude for a Medicaid pilot project involving nearly 30,000 low-income residents. Siebel says in what was a kind of test case for Medicaid expansion in Ohio, health providers helped cut ER use, increased primary care visits, and kept spending 25% below projections.
There are probably half of the states that have not expanded Medicaid, and I think this should be a reason that they want to reconsider their decisions.
Medicaid true believers see several emerging reasons why states should reconsider. A recent federal report found new patients are generally in better physical and mental health than people already enrolled, and the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office recently dropped the cost estimate for states by nearly a third, as fewer people previously eligible for Medicaid signed up than projected. These are people dramatically more expensive to states.
All this evidence continues to undermine that. It's too costly for the states to take up.
Edwin Park with the left-leaning Center on Budget and Policy Priorities believes the growing body of information strengthens the widely held position that states can afford this. There's just one thing.
I have never thought that this is about money.
This isn't about the money.
It's certainly not mostly about money.
A refrain you hear a lot. In this case, from Park, Harvard's Dr. Ben Summers, and George Washington's Sarah Rosenbaum, who believes what's really driving opposition is philosophical.
A belief that somehow when you help the poor with governmental assistance, you are encouraging bad behavior, laziness.
Josh Archambault with the right-leaning Foundation for Government Accountability says there's some truth to that. Ultimately, though, he says the problem is that you're expanding a broken program.
Not only does it hurt the people that you're adding, but it also hurts those that are already on the boat.
What conservatives want, and they've begun to get, is more flexibility in how the expansion program is designed. Even with that, full acceptance could take years. Don't forget, Arizona adopted the original Medicaid program in 1982, 17 years after it was first introduced. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
My colleagues Ben Johnson and the Marketplace Tech crew have a series about technology and music called Playing with Machines. It's at marketplace.org if you want to hear some cool things later on. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Fewer kids are going to jail when they get in trouble. They're getting GPS ankle monitors.
Sometimes I do get frustrated. I feel like I'm trapped in my own house. And just last night, I felt like the walls were closing in on me.
I'm David Gura. What tracking kids costs, next time on Marketplace from APM.